Greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Let's kick off with the UEFA Champions League, the world's premier club football competition. There are 8 matches scheduled on this final day of October, spanning groups A, B, C, and D. In group A, Basel is at home against CSKA Moscow. And top of the table, Manchester United goes for its 4th consecutive victory against visiting Benfica. Man U's Belgian star Romelu Lukaku has been criticized recently by the club's fans for going 5 matches without scoring a goal. Ahead of the Benfica match, Man U manager Jose Mourinho defended Lukaku.
Romelu always deserves, because what he does for the team is fantastic. And play football for a striker is not just about scoring goals. So for me, untouchable in my team, and I think he should be untouchable also in the support and the respect that he deserves from the fans. But I repeat, the fans are the fans, they pay their ticket, they do what they want, but as a manager, I feel the duty to protect my players when I feel they deserve.
In Group B, Paris Saint-Germain, on top of the table with the maximum 9 points from 3 matches, is at home against Anderlecht, and Celtic will play visiting Bayern Munich in Glasgow. In Group C, Atletico Madrid will host the Azerbaijani club Karabag, and the Italian club Roma is at home against Chelsea. The Blues of Chelsea top the group with 7 points, followed by Roma with 5. Chelsea's manager is Antonio Conte.
Honestly, I think our group is a tough group, with Atletico Madrid and Rome, two really strong team, two really good team, and to stay in this moment at the top of this group is very important, because we are trying to face all competitions in this season.
Also in Rome, Chelsea's Spanish striker Alvaro Morata addressed a report in an Italian sports newspaper that suggested he was not happy at the London club.
We have a problem of understanding in this interview. If Chelsea proposed me 10 years, probably I sign it too. I'm very happy in this club. I'm very happy with the city, and I'm very happy with everything in London. I really like London, and probably if I make good and I improve, probably I can stay here more than 5 years, but I need to score many goals, and if otherwise Chelsea buy another player, it's normal.
Chelsea striker Alvaro Morata, and he was speaking in Rome. Finally, in Group D in the UEFA Champions League on Tuesday evening, Sporting CP is at home in Lisbon against 2017 Champions League finalist Juventus. And Olympiacos of Greece will host Barcelona. Barcelona leads this group with the maximum 9 points from 3 matches, followed by Juventus with 6 points. Here in the United States, the Major League Soccer playoffs continue later Tuesday evening with a first leg Eastern Conference semifinal matchup. The Columbus Crew will host New York City FC. The teams will play the decisive second leg on November 5th. New York's other MLS club, the New York Red Bulls, lost at home Monday night to Toronto FC 2-1 in the first leg of their Eastern Conference semifinal. Victor Vasquez scored the match's opening goal in the 8th minute for Toronto. The Austrian Daniel Royer scored the equalizer for the Red Bulls on a penalty kick just before halftime. In the 72nd minute, former Juventus striker Sebastian Giovinco, Major League Soccer's 2015 Most Valuable Player, drew a foul just outside the box. Giovinco then bent a free kick over a four-man wall to make it 2-1. The decisive second leg in this playoff series will be Sunday in Toronto, Canada. Now, Toronto set the MLS single-season record for points with 69. Still with the MLS playoffs, the Houston Dynamo and the visiting Portland Timbers played to a scoreless draw Monday night in the first leg of their Western Conference semifinal. Portland will host the second leg on Sunday. The other playoff series between the Vancouver Whitecaps and the defending MLS champion Seattle Sounders is also tied at 0-0. The Sounders will host the decisive second leg on Thursday evening. Seattle lifted the MLS Cup for the first time last season, beating Toronto FC 5-4 on penalty kicks after a scoreless draw. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossing. I feature music and interviews with your favorite artists from all around the world. And you can not only listen, but you can interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT on VOA.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on the Voice of America.
Keep counting them down, Ray. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Athletics has a long history in Wales, where the first amateur athletic events began in the 1870s and the first championships in the early 20th century. Among the athletes who have made Wales proud are Lynn Davies, the 1964 Olympic long jump champion, Colin Jackson, the 1988 Olympic silver medalist in the 110-meter hurdles, and Steve Jones, the former world record holder in the marathon. At the Minova Frankfurt Marathon in Germany on Sunday, a long-distance runner from Wales made an excellent debut at the classic 42-kilometer distance. Picking up the story, here's the energetic Andy Edwards.
Long distance running is very much an international sport, but of course it's been dominated by the East Africans in the last two decades, and nothing wrong with that, a fantastic performance. But it's really refreshing when somebody comes along who's not from either Kenya and Ethiopia and gives you a good story and runs high quality performances. We've had that today, notably in the Minova Frankfurt Marathon with Dewi Griffiths of Wales, and also Great Britain, it should be said. He's run a really impressive debut in the marathon, 2:09.49, fifth place in Frankfurt. I mean, both aspects, really high quality. Dowie's been setting personal bests by the score, well, a stack of them this year. But Dowie, okay, you ran a PB in the half marathon in Cardiff, start of October, 61, mid-61s. But did you expect a 2:09 earlier in the race? You were on course for 2:08, and I started thinking this could be the best UK debutant ever. What did you think?
Yeah, hi, thanks. I think kind of shocked me how fast I ran, because I thought I, on my day maybe 62, but to run 61:33 in Cardiff, and the way I felt, I still felt pretty good the last mile. So I knew, you know what, I might have a chance at this marathon. I always approach it, let's give 210 a go. If I'm not got a chance of 210, maybe let's wait another year then. But the way the race went, I couldn't have felt any better. You know, I was clipping along the Ks, clipping on 10K, 20K, 30K, and I was still feeling good. I was still feeling good at relatively good 33, 34K. And then, unfortunately, you know, the story of the marathon, you never really know until you get to 35K and 36K. And I was starting to cramp up, and every K I was going, I was cramping up worse and worse. And
We talked briefly in the Festhalle, where the finish line is just after, just too loud to record anything. And I'm pretty sure you said you're slightly disappointed because you're actually going for 208 rather than 209. Is that true?
Well, yeah, partly. After running Cardiff, the way I felt, I just thought, you know what, I've got to give it a go. Go with that second group. It was going at, was meant to be going at 64:15 pace. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to give that go. It's within, it's about 2 minutes and three quarters slower than I could run for a half marathon. So it's not within, out of the realms of, you know, I might feel good at that pace as well. So gave it a go, and the pace went quicker than we planned. I still felt good, so it didn't faze me. And got to a 27K, and then we turned out of the wind, and we have also, and we had the wind behind us, and I still felt good, so I started pushing on a bit. I say pushing on, it's probably just maintaining pace, and but yeah, got to 30K, and I think I was still on for maybe a high 27 at that point, and then by the time I got to 35K, I think it was low 28, and then yeah, I was looking at the spits earlier, and I think I went from running like 3.2, 3.3, so all of a sudden running 3 lengths, and then the last 2K I was running 3.20s or something per K.
You know, I'm pretty sure, well, anybody in who follows distance running over the many years knows there'll be another Welshman somewhere in the world, probably in the USA, called Steve Jones, who, from what I know, is still the fastest UK debutant, His 2:08.05 to win Chicago in 1984. But when I was watching you run today here in Frankfurt, I was starting to thinking, well, is he going to break Steve Jones's record? What does it feel like? Because, okay, Steve Jones was a tremendous gutsy runner, and then went on to break the world record. I don't want to be insulting. In a sense, your lifestyle, you know, you work on a farm, family farm, you work with sheep, you know, that's tough work. Are you a kind of throwback?
Yeah, you know, it's back in the day, I guess they all had manual works, and then they did probably run 100, 120 miles on top of it. Probably you could say my similar lifestyle or corresponds to that kind of thing. You know, I'm only running 100 mile a week. I got up to 110 at most in this build-up, and so you could say it's very similar to that. I like to race a lot as well, which a lot of the 80s guys did. Steve, you know, Steve always says race more, and I've done that this winter as well. So yeah, I guess once you start and compare to Steve Jones, you know you're doing something right, don't you? So
On the farm, it's a family farm, as I understand, Carmarthenshire. I mean, Welsh is your first language, isn't it? I mean, you are doing usually a day's work, you know, it's not this isn't just like a nice story, like you're working with sheep. I mean, that must be tough physical work.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty fortunate, my parents are supportive. When I finished uni about 4 years ago now, I said I want to give Commonwealth Games a go for Glasgow 2014, and I was fortunate my parents allowed me to do that. I live at home and rent free, obviously not getting a wage, but working on the farm at home. And after making the Commonwealth Games, I was like, can I have another year? And since then it's been, you know, I don't get the question anymore. They know I'm getting better and better, and who knows where I can go eventually. But yeah, it can be physical, it can be long hours, but I guess for a marathon, you've got to be mentally tough and strong, I guess.
Just looking at briefly, two possible targets next year. Well, Commonwealth Games, Australia, the Gold Coast, April 2018, and then Berlin has the European Championship. Of course, that includes the marathon in August. So have you got two goals in mind? I mean, firstly, the Commonwealth Games for Wales?
Unfortunately, before the Glasgow Commonwealth Games, I got injured the week before, and it turned out to be stress fracture, but I still ran, and turned out to be a broken foot then. But in a sense, the last 3 or 4 years, I've been, I want to get back on that start line in the best shape of my life, and, you know, show the Commonwealth Games what I can actually do. You know, I'm trying to perform on that level, and I think I owe to myself in Gold Coast to be on that start line in the 10K. Looking forward to the Europeans, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. You know, half a reason to doing Frankfurt today was having the option and make a decision later on whether I stick with the 10K or have a go at the Gap Marathon, you know. Who knows?
Well, who knows? Well, Dowie Griffith, you've certainly, and not just you, but there have been good European results here in Frankfurt. Nothing against the Africans, of course. We all know they're fantastic runners, but it's good for the sport, for success to be spread around. I think you've got a great story. And I think there could be more chaps ahead. Dawi, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hello, this is Haile Gebrselassie. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America.
Voice of America! Oh, keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day, it will brighten all the way, if you keep on the sunny side of life. Oh, keep on the sunny side.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, Spanish star Rafael Nadal could reach two more career milestones at this week's Paris Masters tournament in the French capital. If Rafa wins his opening match in Paris Wednesday, he'll end the year ranked number one ahead of Roger Federer, who pulled out of Paris after winning the Swiss indoors in Basel for the eighth time Sunday. Now, this would be the fourth time Nadal has finished the year number one, following his top-of-the-ranking finishes in 2008, 2010, and 2013. The other career milestone is 31, the record number of World Tour Masters titles Rafa will have if he wins the Paris tournament. Nadal is currently tied with the Serbian star Novak Djokovic for the all-time lead at 30. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Danish tennis player Caroline Wozniacki, who won the biggest title of her career Sunday in Singapore. The 27-year-old Wozniacki beat 37-year-old Venus Williams 6-4 and 6-4 in the WTA Finals. Joining us once again is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Halloween?
Well, we've got some great Halloween-themed stories today. Not a holiday that is known for things that are cheerful and happy. These stories are
spooky.
Spooky, gruesome, disturbing, all of those kind of adjectives that make your skin crawl. And we start with a story that actually is quite gruesome. Zach Miller, the tight end for the National Football League's Chicago Bears, suffering a gruesome dislocation of his knee on Sunday while playing against the New Orleans Saints. So bad, in fact, that he tore an artery in his knee, and doctors said initially there was a chance that he could lose his leg and it would have to be amputated.
Wow.
Thankfully, reports are that the surgery to repair the torn arteries was successful, so it looks like he is on his way to making a recovery. Not sure if he'll ever come back as a player in the National Football League, but it looks as of right now that he will be able to keep his legs, so that's very good news. Fans are sharing videos and photos from that moment when Miller dislocated his knee. His leg bends backwards in the wrong direction, so really it's a scary scene when you look at those photos. And a lot of people saying, just when you thought Gordon Hayward's injury was the worst leg injury in sports this year, here comes this one. Of course, remember the first game of the NBA season, Gordon
That's
Hayward
right.
broke his leg. His leg was bent in a place where it should not have bent. He is on the mend, and Zach Miller's on the mend as well. But there is, amid all the well wishes that are coming on social media, not just from Chicago Bears fans, and not just even from NFL fans, from fans across the sports world, amid all those well wishes, there is an NFL angle to this, a bit of a controversy, because on the catch where Miller injured his knee, perhaps his last catch of his NFL career, officials ruled that it was not a touchdown. Now, fans vehemently disagree with this. They said that the video shows that both of his feet are in, he made the catch, he had the ball, but they ruled that it was not a touchdown. They said that it's one word I saw used was disgraceful, that the NFL has overturned that call and took that catch away from Miller. Many fans calling it the catch of the year, not only because it was a good catch, but
also he held on to that ball after he went down with that gruesome injury. So I don't think the NFL is going to make a change to that. Whatever happens in the game happens in the game. But in many fans' minds, that is the catch of the year, even though it was not ruled a catch.
What else is trending on this Halloween, Andrew?
Well, we have a story that's disturbing, and this comes from the World Series over the weekend. In Game 3 on Friday, Astros first baseman Yuli Gurriel hit a home run against Dodgers pitcher Yu Darvish, who, of course, we've talked about is Japanese. Now, after that home run, Gurriel pulled the sides of his eyes with his fingers to kind of narrow his eyes and to mimic the eyes of Asian people if they're more narrow. Very offensive gesture, very racist gesture, as many people pointed out. Gurriel apologized, but fans are furious, not only because of the gesture that he made, but because the Major League Baseball commissioner, Rob Manfred, said that Gurriel will be suspended for that action, but not until the 2018 baseball season. Fans are saying he should be out for the rest of the World Series as well as games next season. They said that kind of behavior is inexcusable and it needs to be addressed right away during this season. And especially because I've seen a number of instances that Astro fans were making the same gesture and people took pictures of them, put that up on social media. They said it shows that Gurriel is a role model and his actions should carry consequences to put an end to any of this kind of behavior from players or fans. So that is the outrage coming from Major League Baseball fans. Of course, all eyes are going to be on Los Angeles for Game 6. Houston,
must win for the Dodgers.
Must win for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Houston hoping that they can pull out the game and that they will be victorious and go to their win their first World Series. But we will have to wait and see.
And it has been a thrilling World Series, hasn't it, Andrew?
It has indeed. It's been quite an exciting one. After Game 2, everybody said that was the best game ever in baseball. Until Game 5, just a few nights later, and they said that was the best game ever. So it's given fans a lot to be happy about.
Well, what else is trending out there in the sports world, Andrew?
Well, perhaps the one thing that people most associate with Halloween is dressing up in costume and trying to scare people. And that is something that one of the big names of basketball has done. Because every year, LeBron James has a big Halloween party where he invites all his teammates. It's become kind of a tradition that he's held over the years. And so we saw on social media a lot of LeBron's teammates dressing up. J.R. Smith and his wife were dressed as the Coneheads. Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union, the actress who's his girlfriend, as Milli Vanilli, the 90s rap group who got caught lip-syncing. And Isaiah Thomas as rapper Eazy-E. And I have to tell you, Sonny, these costumes, they go all out. They are costumes befitting people who make multi-million dollar paychecks because they looked exactly like these characters. Now, I didn't mention LeBron's costume, and this is perhaps the best of all of the costumes at the party, certainly one of the ones that got the most attention. LeBron went as Pennywise the Clown from the book, and now the hit movie based on the book, It, by Stephen King. Of course, Pennywise is the clown that scares children and transforms into their fears, and so LeBron was Pennywise, very topical because that movie just came out a few weeks ago. One person on social media, I think, summed it up best. They said, I literally can't think of anything scarier than 6'8", 250-pound LeBron James as Pennywise. So it was pretty startling sight. Meanwhile, Steph Curry was not invited to the LeBron party, of course, but he got in on the fun this weekend. He dressed as Jigsaw, a character from the Saw horror movie franchise. Posted a video of that to Instagram when he showed up to the game on Sunday there at Oracle Arena. Fans, though, not so terrified about Steph Curry. They said they couldn't stop laughing because he rides in on a tricycle. That's what Jigsaw does in the movie, is a tricycle. And so fans said it was more funny than horrifying, even though he may have tried to be a little scary. But everybody getting in on the Halloween fun, even some of the big names of the NBA.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny, and happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, and that wraps up the October 31st Halloween edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The U.S. and its international allies and partners are taking new steps to ensure that President Donald Trump's vision for a world that is secure against terrorist threats is realized, said U.S. Coordinator for Counterterrorism Nathan Sales in a recent interview. One of those steps is the recent endorsement with partners of the Global Counterterrorism Forum of the Anatolia Memorandum on the Protection of Soft Targets.
The Anatolia memo contains a number of practices for governments and private sector entities to use together in cooperation to protect places to which the public is invited. Stadiums, restaurants, parks, sidewalks, against terrorist threats. This is an increasing trend that we're seeing overseas. We're seeing it here at home. And so it's important for us all to work together to secure our public spaces against terrorist attacks.
The United States, in partnership with Morocco, also recently announced the launch of a new initiative to address the growing threat posed by homegrown terrorists. We've seen in the past 3 years a number of foreign terrorist fighters who have traveled to Iraq and Syria to fight with ISIS, some of whom have come home and perpetrated deadly terrorist attacks, said Ambassador Sales. But that's not the only threat we face.
We also have to be mindful of people who are inspired by ISIS or inspired by Al-Qaeda. They may not have a membership card, they may not have any battlefield experience, but it doesn't take much more than simply renting a truck and driving it into a crowd. So the threat of homegrown terrorism, people without any operational ties, is a very serious problem. It's a threat that's on the rise, and it's one that we're going to be focusing on.
The United States and Global Counterterrorism Forum partners are also focusing on strengthening criminal justice and other rule of law institutions that confront terrorism.
Counterterrorism is not just for soldiers. It's not just for spies. It's also for cops. And so part of what we've done here in the United States is create capabilities for state law enforcement officers and federal law enforcement officers alike to partner together to bring cases, to bring criminal charges in cases where that's warranted.
We're doing the same sort of thing, said Ambassador Sales, standing up these capabilities with partners around the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Linor Moudou. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.